Are you friends with Jesus? Have you ever thought about it? I will admit that this entire concept of having Jesus or God as a friend isn't something I've historically spent much time thinking about. Now, I remember when I was younger and being in Sunday school and singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know," and what a friend we have in Jesus. But if I'm being truly honest here, Jesus had far more in common, at least in my childhood mindset, with the teacher at the front of the classroom and less with the other little people I played with and called friends. Yes, I was told and I believed that Jesus loved me. But even as a child, and maybe perhaps especially as a child, I knew that merely having affection and love for someone did not necessarily make them your friend. Now, it wasn't until well into my adult life and most of the way through seminary that I attended St. Gregory of Nyssa Episcopal Church in San Francisco. If you haven't ever attended, next time you find yourself in San Francisco, go there. They do amazing things with their liturgy. They do a processional dance around the altar. It's just very, very cool. So I commend that to you. But while I was there, I found out what their mission is. And they declare that their mission is becoming God's friends. And it was then that I began to earnestly think about a friendship with Jesus. So, are you friends with Jesus? Now, John's gospel that we heard today presents becoming friends with Jesus as very, very simple. If you love one another as I have loved you, Jesus says, you are my friends. Great! Sign me up! But, if it was really that easy, why did it take me so long to think about Jesus as my friend? And to be blunt, it's because the adults of today aren't very good at friendships. Now, there's a meme that pops up periodically on Facebook and Instagram, particularly around Easter. It says something along the lines of this: the greatest miracle Jesus pulled off was having 12 close friends in his 30s. And I laugh at it. I think it's funny. And it also stings a little, because it's true. As I've gotten older, I've watched myself deprioritize friendship because I was tired or busy. And I don't think I'm that uncommon. I've talked with many, many people who struggle or don't make time for friends. And unfortunately, our society will have you believe that family and work are essential. But friends, well, they're a luxury once you fit everything else in. A bit like getting dessert once you've finished your vegetables at dinner. And it's making people lonely. Sociologists have studied this phenomenon. One study found that on average, Facebook users have around 300 friends. And this is up from 130 about a decade ago. But while the number of these friends may increase, the number of people who report loneliness, even before the pandemic, was steadily increasing. In 2018, those who reported loneliness were about 50%. A year later, it had jumped to 61%, or about 3 in every 5 Americans. That number just increases if you are younger, if you have been in a job less than 6 months, or if you frequently use social media. And while this number of virtual friends increases, the number of close friends that we have, close friends, confidants, has decreased. In the 1980s, on average, adults had 3 close friends. Today, that number is 2. And just for clarity, and so we're all on the same page, one professor who studies friendship says that a close friend is someone that you talk to, someone to depend on, and someone to enjoy. Are you friends with Jesus? Unfortunately, a friend is not how the church has presented Jesus to the world. Jesus has been pushed away from the material world and is often depicted as a distant and dread judge. And that's a failure on the part of the church. And it's a failure that has robbed many people of a real and true and deep friendship with Jesus. Jesus gives us the commandment today, love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. From nearly the beginning of Christianity, people who followed a path to martyrdom were exalted by the church, many of whom intentionally put themselves in situations or actively sought out death just to be a martyr. In many minds, martyrdom was thought to be an instant ticket to heaven. But there's a glaring issue here. Getting yourself killed is not the same as laying down one's life for one's friends. Maybe sometimes it involves sacrificing yourself so that your friend is safe. But I actually think Jesus is proposing something that Western culture will view as far more radical. Jesus wants us to risk a potentially catastrophic love affair with each other. And I say that this love is catastrophic because it can kill you. It can lead you to lay aside beliefs about yourself and others, to seek the happiness and flourishing of others before yourself, potentially pushing aside your family structures or safety or jobs or government allegiances or even your church. And the powerful, both outside and inside the church, have always recognized the innate danger of this message of Jesus and have wanted to suppress it. And it has largely worked. Adults have proven that we don't understand this kind of friendship with each other or with Jesus. And I think that this is why Jesus so frequently favors children's knowledge above that of learned adults. They somehow more readily understand how to live in this way of friendship and love, especially with each other. We teach these lessons to our young ones, but we forget them as we age. As a case in point, I asked Ren, and she told me that I could share this book with you all this morning. It's called Kindness Rules. When you're feeling crabby, sad, or have lost your way, magic manners saves the day. When meeting someone new or old, magic always says hello. When a friend asks to play with a favorite toy, magic takes turns and shares the joy. When a new friend wants to join the game, magic treats everyone the same. When asked for a want or need, magic remembers to say please. When he feels upset and needs to be heard, magic breathes and uses his words. When playing with someone or their stuff, magic is gentle, never rough. When talking to someone face to face, magic minds his personal space. When a friend has chosen to speak up, magic doesn't interrupt. When it's time to sit down to eat, magic is courteous and neat. When something he's done has hurt a friend, magic always makes amends. Any time of day, at home or at school, magic remembers the golden rule: treat others the way you want them to treat you. So this kind of sums up the friend that Jesus wants us to be. Friends that share resources. Friends who treat people with equity. Friends that allow everyone to take up space. Friends who embrace reconciliation. And friends who love one another the way they want to be loved. If you want to be Jesus' friend, this is the friendship that you must have with other people. And so, do you really think you can handle being friends with Jesus?